Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews while I get a little bit of my tea and honey. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going line upon line, precept upon precept. We've been in the Hall of Faith. It's an exciting scripture, exciting passage of scriptures, actually, where we learn what faith is. We learn that it's impossible to please God without faith because it's just an absolute essential to our lives. And now, after learning what faith is, how faith comes, and all these different things about faith, now we're seeing the story of faith in action through the different narratives and the different characters in the Bible. And today, we're looking and continuing to look at the story of Moses. And I really just love the story of Moses because there's so much truth. There's so much of a wealth in the Word of God about Moses' life that you and I, we can apply to ourselves, because Moses, like you and I, very average, very everyday person, had a lot of ups and downs in his life. I think like we have ups and downs. But yet God used Moses in a mighty way. And now we see the example and the illustration of Moses in faith and what he did. And today I want to talk about the subject as we look at the life of Moses and the example of faith in Moses. Today I want to talk about the subject of your past. Dun, dun, dun. Doesn't matter where you're at in life, doesn't matter how old, how young, where, how well or how bad it was, each and every one of us in this place comes with a past. We all have one, whether it's good, whether it's bad, or like Clint Eastwood's movie, ugly, whatever it might be, we all have a past. There's things that we've done in life that we've regretted. There's things that we've said to people that we wish we wouldn't have said. There's things that have been done to us that have hurt us, that have harmed us, that have caused us to be who we are. There are things that were in our past that were great, that were wonderful, that were amazing memories. And what happens, what we do is we take our past, and our past develops who we are today. The things that happened to us yesterday are what create us to who we are today. And each and every one of us comes with a unique past. Some of you have bright pasts. Some of you have dark and dismal and horrific pasts. But regardless of where you're at, each and every one of us have a past in our lives and things that we carry along with us. And those pasts have a way of identifying and relating to who we are today. And looking at our past, we look at the subject or we look at the context of Moses. And Moses was a man in the Bible that also had a past. As a matter of fact, Moses was a man, if you look at his story, and the story of Moses, maybe you're, if you're unfamiliar with Moses, there was a movie recently about him in Hollywood, and it was super off, but you know what? I mean, there was a guy in the movie named Moses, and then there was the Red Sea, and there was a character named Pharaoh, so it's kind of the same. If not, maybe you saw that Charlton Heston movie from back in the day, or if you've got kids and you've got Netflix, there's Prince of Egypt. You could always go and watch Prince of Egypt and get a kind of a grasp of the story of Moses. Or if you really just want to know about the story of Moses, you could always just read your Bible. It's in there too, but you know, start one day at a time. And no, I'm just kidding, that's what we do. And so we look at the story of Moses, and Moses was a man in the Word of God that we see was a man who had a past. We saw a couple of weeks ago as we were learning about the story of Moses that Moses refused to be identified as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't want to be called an Egyptian. He knew that he was called to be a Hebrew. He knew that God had a plan for his life, and he made a choice, a difficult decision, an uncomfortable decision in his faith to choose to walk away from that identity to be who God called him to be. But also Moses was a man who had a past. The story of Moses goes that after 40 years of living as an Egyptian, Moses realized and recognized that there was something with the Hebrews that he was connected to, and he saw an Egyptian guard harass and abusing some Hebrew slaves, and therefore he intervened and he actually killed that Egyptian guard. He buried him in the sand, hoping that nobody would see, but the Hebrews saw. So he came back the next day. They said, "What are you going to do, Moses? Kill us like you killed the Egyptian?" And Moses was afraid that the word would get to Pharaoh, and sure enough, word got to Pharaoh, and the Bible says that Pharaoh sought to take Moses' life. And so Moses ran from Egypt. He ran from his past. Here's a man who committed murder, and after committing murder, he ran from his past in order to escape that and spent 40 years in the wilderness as a sheep herder, as a different identity, as a different person. And you know, the amazing thing about what God has in the story of Moses, I believe, is God has for you and I, is that God called Moses not to run from his past, but 40 years after running from his past, God called Moses to confront his past. and to deal with what he ran away from and to come out victorious. And you know what? We have pasts. Every one of us have something in our past. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, maybe it's ugly in our lives, but we all have come with a past. And God doesn't want us to run from it, and God doesn't want us to allow our past to identify who we are today. And we can see in the story of Moses what God wants us to do with our lives. And so it says, verse number 27, chapter 11, it says, by faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he saw Jesus, him, as invisible, and he endured. So here we see the story is in the context is everything that we're looking at Hebrews is done in the operation, in the action of faith. Moses didn't forsake Egypt out of fear. I believe with all of my heart, this scripture is talking about the second time Moses left Egypt. And we'll talk about that in a little while. But it says, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt. Now, we talked about a couple of weeks ago. If you weren't here, it's all right. I'll give you a real quick brief about it. The book of Hebrews is written to Hebrews. Hebrew believers. And so that's why as the book of Hebrews progresses, it talks about the sacrifice, it talks about the high priest, it talks about the laws and the different ordinances and the different tabernacles and things like that, because it's addressing the Hebrew believers where they're at. And to a Hebrew believer, the very mention or the subject of Egypt represents something. It represents bondage. To the Hebrews, Egypt represents slavery. It represents captivity. It represents something in which we are to be delivered out of. Just like Moses delivered the Hebrews out of Egypt, Egypt is captivity, it's slavery, it's bondage. The Bible says that by faith, Moses forsook Egypt. That word forsook, we could replace that with the word abandon. It's the same word. The word says by faith, Moses abandoned Egypt. So if Egypt is bondage, Egypt is slavery, Egypt is captivity, Egypt is the former identity of who we were, the Bible says that by faith, Moses abandoned captivity. He abandoned bondage. He abandoned what was once who he was. He left that to be what God called him to be. And today I want to look at God confronting Moses' past and what we see here in Hebrews 11 chapter, that Moses, by faith, abandoned his past. His past identity, his Egypt. When we look at the subject of Egypt, when we look at the subject of bondage, each and every one of us in our life, we probably can relate to that in some form or fashion. You might have an Egypt in your life. And it may not be the physical Egypt of, you know, the physical location of Egypt, but maybe that Egypt is what somebody spoke over you a long time ago. Maybe the Egypt that you're facing is alcohol or maybe drugs or cigarettes or something in the past life that you haven't yet been able to shake or haven't been able to get rid of. And yet there's this constant weight, this constant reminder of what once had a hold of you and you can't seem to get rid of it. And the Bible says that by faith, Moses abandoned that thing, that bondage, that Egypt. And you and I, God says, I want you, I've called you to abandon that past, to abandon that Egypt. You know, another man in the Bible who had an amazing past, a past of highs and a past of lows, is Paul the Apostle. Paul talks about himself and Paul says, you know what, out of Hebrew heritage, Paul says, I was the Hebrew of Hebrews. I was born from the tribe of Benjamin, the best of all the tribes. I was trained under the greatest of all rabbis. When it comes to being a religious zealot, there was nobody more zealous than me. Paul says, I had a heritage, I had a past, I had a legacy. He even goes to say on the other end of the spectrum, he says that God, in his innumerable and immeasurable grace, utilized and used Paul to witness and to minister to the church, he says, whom he persecuted. Paul tells Timothy to witness and to be an example to the sinners. And Paul says, of who, he says of himself, I am chief. He calls himself the chief of sinners. So you can see with Paul's example of Paul's life that he had a past. He had a past of great triumphs, a great legacy, of great heritage, but he also had a past of great regrets and great decisions and things that he had done in his life that he knew he could not undo, and now he had to live with the consequences of that past. But Paul says this word about his past in Philippians, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse number 13, Paul says, or third chapter, beginning in verse number 13, Paul says, brethren, I don't count myself as apprehended. He says, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect yet. I'm still working it. I'm still getting there. I'm still going towards what God has for me. But he says, this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind me, reaching forward to those which are ahead. Paul says about his past, whether it's good, whether it's bad, he says, I count it all as waste, as dung, as trash. He says, my past is gone, and now I look forward to what God has in store for me. You have a past. I have a past. And what happens is we allow that past to identify who we are today. What somebody spoke over you is what you feel about yourself. Maybe somebody told you at one point in your life that you're worthless or that you're no good. Maybe somebody once spoke over you that you're stupid or you're uneducated. Maybe at some point in your life somebody hurt you or they damaged you or they did something that violated you. Maybe somebody left you or walked out on you and you felt alone or forgotten. And we allow these experiences to define who we are, and they create the person that you are today. And what happens is like, have you ever heard the term, you wear your emotions on your sleeve? We end up wearing, or we have a tendency of wearing our past on our sleeves. Let me give you the example. Maybe somebody spoke over you something that was very harmful. Somebody did something to you that was very painful. And so what we end up doing is we end up identifying ourselves with what somebody said, with what somebody did. We end up allowing that to define who we are. And we think that this is who we are. We think that because somebody left us out, we feel like we've been forgotten. Or because we can't seem to shake the continual repetition of sin, we feel like, you know what, I'm just a sinner. And no matter what I do, I can't escape the sin. Or maybe somebody told me of my life that I was a loser. Or they said about me that I'm worthless. Or I always feel lost no matter what I do. Or that somebody spoke over me that I'm stupid. Whatever it might be. And so we begin to allow these to identify us. And we think of ourselves in the context of this. And this becomes the robe or the garment that we wear as we walk out of our lives. And no matter where we go, we might think that people, they look at us and they see our garment, they see our outerwear, and they see what we think of ourselves. They see a forgotten person. They see a loser. They see a sinner. They see somebody full of hate or somebody who's worthless. And so we begin to get this value of who we are based on the past and what the past has done to us or for us. And that carries us and it creates in us what we think we are. But you see, the Bible tells us, and it's very hard for us to imagine as Americans because we're very anti-slavery, but the Bible paints a picture about you and I, that while we are here on earth in this tent, this tabernacle of a body that the Bible says, that we are subject to the spiritual realm, which means that we, you and I, were all born into slavery, slavery of the sin nature. But when Jesus Christ comes, it doesn't say that he frees us to be free men like we all want to be as Americans. The Bible says that we are no longer slaves to sin. We are now slaves to righteousness. We serve a new master, a new king, a new ruler. And you see, your former master, the devil, is going to do everything he can to identify you with what you think you are. He's going to tell you you're worthless. He's going to send somebody by to tell you you're nothing but a loser. He's going to send somebody, ladies, when somebody told you back in the day when you were something, they said something about you like you're a little hoe or something like that. He's going to send somebody to confirm that all the days of your life so that you think that that's your identity. But you see, he's no longer your master, which means that's no longer your identity. And so what happens is the Bible says by faith, Moses, he had an identity. He was an Egyptian. But the Bible says by faith, he forsook or he abandoned Egypt, his identity. And so what the Bible says about you and I and about our past, about what's made us to be who we are, the Bible says this, hey, take it off. Remove it. That's not you anymore. What they said about you doesn't matter anymore. So what we do is we say, you know what? I'm going to hang my past up and I'm going to walk away from it and I'm going to step out in faith. Amen. But then somebody says something about your past that confirms what that is. And you say, oh, you know what? Maybe they're right. You know, I hung it up, but it got cold outside and it feels good. It's my blankie. It's my comfort zone. This is me. Pastor Luke, this is all I've ever known all my life. This is all I've ever been. But the Bible says, the Bible does not say that by faith Moses hung up his past. The Bible says by faith Moses abandoned his past, which means you can't hang it up for a rainy day. You got to by faith step out in your identity in Jesus Christ and say, this no longer defines who I am. It's not a part of me. It's not a part of my wardrobe. It's not a part of my identity. It is no longer me any longer. The Bible tells us that with Jesus Christ, the old things have passed away, right? And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, all things have become new. You know what that means? You're a new creation. The old you, the past, the loser, the worthless, the forgotten, the sinner, that guy died. And now with Jesus, you're a totally new creation. You have a totally new past, which means there's a place and a position for your past. You know where it is? In the past. Leave your past where it belongs, in the past. Stop taking it with you. Stop carrying it around like a garment that identifies you. You are no longer identified by your past. You are identified by your future, Jesus Christ. A couple of years ago, it was a high school reunion, and I got invited, and the whole invitation came in. It was pretty cool, and I just told my wife, I was like, I don't want to go. She's like, don't you want to see the old people? Don't you want to hang out with me? Don't you want to connect? And I'm like, I just don't want to go. And I had a couple of people tell me, man, you got to go. You got to go. And I'm like, listen, here's the deal. That guy died. He's dead. The guy that smoked pot and that ditched school and that wanted to be a professional snowboarder and had no aspirations for anything, have anything to do with God, that guy died. And this guy is not that guy. And I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to where I was and try to be dragging a dead body around to connect to everybody in my past. That's not me anymore. That's not you anymore. Your past has a place. It's in the past. Leave it where it belongs. The Bible says that by faith, he forsook it. He abandoned it. Church, no matter what happened to you in the past, that's not who you are today, because Jesus Christ has re-identified who you are, because now you have transferred ownership. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer property of the devil. Now you're property of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Commander of the universe. That's you. So the Bible says that he forsook Egypt. I like this. It says, not fearing the wrath of the king. You know, Moses left Egypt two times in his life. He had two exoduses, you could say, of Egypt. The first time Moses left Egypt, he was 40 years old after he had murdered the Egyptian guard. And the first time Moses left, he left in fear. Why? Because the king sought to take his life. Moses ran for his life the first time. 40 years Moses spent in the wilderness hiding from what happened to him, for hiding from his past. Until one day, God said, Moses, I'm not going to let you run from your past anymore. Moses, I want you to confront your past. Moses said, God, I can't go back to Egypt. I don't know how to speak. God says, I'll give you a voice. Moses says, God, if I go back, they're not going to listen to me. God says, Moses, I'll give you power. God, I don't have the ability to go back. I need support. God says, I'll give you Aaron. Moses came up with every reason why not to go. But God said, Moses, I'm going to send you back to your past, because the next time you leave Egypt, you're not leaving it in fear. The Bible tells us of the Exodus account that when the 10th plague had happened and the firstborn of all the Egyptians was killed, that the Hebrews, when they left as conquerors. The Bible tells us that they plundered Egypt, the wealthiest and the most powerful nation on earth at that time. The Hebrew slaves left Egypt as victorious conquerors, taking the goods with them, the gold and the silver and the supplies. You see, when Moses left the second time, he didn't leave afraid, he left victorious. And you and I, the Bible tells us we don't have to be afraid of the enemy. You don't have to be afraid of the enemy. Listen, you used to belong to the devil. You used to belong to the systems of this world. You were born under that identity. And the devil is not going to take you transferring ownership lying down. He's not going to surrender without a fight. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the devil is our great adversary. The Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren, you and I. The Bible says that he is a thief who comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy you. He is out for you. Why? Can I just say it in San Bernardino language? He's pissed that you chose Jesus over him. But what happens is, we see too many exorcism of Emily Roses. We see too many of those Hollywood productions of the priest or the Christian who gets beat up and slapped around by that weird looking demon thing and the little girl whose head's spinning around and crawling on the walls. And we are afraid walking around as Christians, afraid of what the devil's going to do. I'm afraid he's going to attack my finances. I'm afraid he's going to attack my health. I'm afraid he's going to attack my family. I'm afraid he's going to attack my business. I'm afraid he's going to come after me. And so we walk our lives around scared. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse number 8, I love what he says. He says, my brethren, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. That's a pretty big picture he's painting. He didn't say he walks around like a kitty cat. You know, like a coyote, or he said a roaring lion. I remember I went to the San Diego Wild Animal Park, and they have a lion exhibition right there, and there's this big piece of glass where the lion was laying against the glass. I don't want to be chased by that lion. That lion will eat you and play with you while it eats you. Yep. Horrific image. Here he is. And you notice how he doesn't say in verse number 8, my brethren, be afraid. Be very afraid. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, be sober, keep a right mind, be vigilant, keep your eyes open, because he's coming for you. He's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But look what verse number 9 says. It says, resist him, steadfast in faith, stiff arm the devil. Man, I love it in football when the running back gets momentum. Like when Marshawn gets into beast mode and all of a sudden he's running and that little tight end or whoever is going to be coming at him trying to tackle him, and he just puts his hand out. And all 300 pounds of running back is putting his hand out, and all that momentum and the hand goes right to the face mask of the guy, and you just watch their head bend backwards, and then they go, and then the running back just mows them over the stiff arm. It's like the greatest football move ever. And here he's saying, resist steadfast the devil. You see, you got God on your side. You got Jesus Christ behind you. Like David, as he looked at Goliath, who was this giant, this uncircumcised Philistine that's going to defile the armies of the living God? The Bible says that David rushed Goliath, not Goliath rushed David. David ran at him. He stiff-armed the giant. You see, the devil, he's going to come at you and try to tell you you're worthless, you're useless, there's no hope, there's no reason for your existence. You need to go back. You're never going to get over that sin. Why are you hanging out with those Christian people? They're too good for you. But listen, you say, no, I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to put my hand up. I'm going to put my head down. And I'm going to keep on trucking through the enemy. Pastor Luke, I don't feel like I'm like equipped. I don't feel like I'm qualified to go against the devil. I don't feel like I'm ready. I'm not suited up, ready to go. Listen, on your own, you're never qualified to defeat the enemy. He will devour you by yourself. But you see, God never called the qualified people. He qualified the people he called. I'm going to drink my tea and let that sit for a minute. God never called the qualified people. He qualified the people he called. So you see, by yourself, you're never qualified. You're never equipped to take on the devil. By yourself, alone, without God, he is something I'd be afraid of too. But you see, now you've got Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that Jesus, through his love and through his righteousness and through his grace, he purchased us and he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. You see, the devil's going to come and say, no, listen, you are my property. I own you. You are worthless. You are useless. And I will take you and I will do with you what I will. But you know, we get to say, no, 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 devil, because I got the title deed of Jesus Christ as my new master in my life. He's called the Holy Spirit. I have been signed, sealed, and delivered. And it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you throw at me. You're not going to take me back, because I am a child of God, no longer a slave of sin, now a servant, a slave of righteousness in Jesus Christ. You see, Pharaoh told Moses no 10 times. Moses had to come back each time. Let my people go. Remember, let my people go. Right? 10 times he had to resist the opposition of the Pharaoh. And even when Pharaoh let them go, you know, Pharaoh chased him. chased them all the way to the Red Sea. They got the Red Sea, and then now you remember the movie, right? They're all mad at Moses. They're like, they're coming at me, Pharaoh, with his chariots, and the little narrow road, and they're about to fall off, and then they go across the Red Sea, and then Moses goes back, and he fights Pharaoh in the Red Sea, because that's in the Bible. Even when Pharaoh chased the Hebrews to the Red Sea, they went across dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do it, ain't gonna happen. Because you see, you've got a God on your side that is so much bigger, so much greater, so much more powerful, who loves you, who cares for you, who cherishes you. And whatever the devil's going to try to throw at you, you've got a God through Jesus Christ who's going to come on the side of you, stand beside you and say, no, I got you. Let's do this. I'm going to take you through on dry ground and I'm going to drown him in his own little water. That is why you and I, we can live our life not afraid of what the devil's going to throw at us. Because you see, the reality of what the Bible tells us is that the devil's walking around afraid of what we're going to throw at him. But if we don't recognize who we are in Christ and we buy into our past, then we're never going to live to the potential of what God has for each and every one of us. You can do this. You can forsake that Egypt. You can get rid of that bondage. You can leave it by faith. And you don't have to be afraid of what the devil's gonna do when he comes after you, because you've got Jesus on your side. And I really, really, really love what it says at the end of that. And it says, Moses endured as seeing him, Jesus, who is invisible. Moses had a picture of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Moses was led, the children of Israel were led by a cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. Moses lived and dwelt for 40 days in the presence of God, and it sustained him without food or water. That is scientifically and physically impossible, but God's power, where men cannot succeed, God will take you and I to the next level. Church, you can endure. You can make it. You can get to the other side. You can win the race that Paul talks about. Jesus even says it like this: he who endures to the end shall be saved. It's not about how you start the race. Some of you started the race pretty lousy. Some of you are in the middle of the race right now and you're tripping. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish the race. And because of Jesus Christ, you can finish the race. Last week we were talking about Stephen, the martyr. Pastor Dan was talking about it, and he says the one time you see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, because the Bible says he went and was seated at the right hand of God. The one time you see Jesus standing at the right hand of God is on Stephen's behalf when Stephen's about to die. But I love what Stephen says. Stephen, as the Bible says, is full of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. He starts preaching to the religious, the Sanhedrin, and they're mad. They're standing up and they're gnashing, and they're ripping their teeth or ripping their clothes, and they're getting ready. And they rush him out of the city. They stone him. And in that, Stephen says, behold, I see Jesus. Behold, I see Jesus. You know what happens when you get through pain, when you have immense periods of pain? Have you ever cut tomatoes or something like that, or maybe got a scratch or a cut or something like that? What do? You go like this, right? You go, right? And you even make that sound effect. You know you do it. Because whenever we have pain, we focus on that. But you notice Stephen, it didn't say that Stephen saw his mom and his dad. It didn't say that Stephen saw the person that he never got to say goodbye to. It didn't say Stephen, his life flashed before his eyes, and all the things that he wanted to accomplish, he never got to accomplish because he was a young man. The Bible says that Stephen looked and he saw Jesus. He looked and he saw Jesus. You see, when your life gets hard, when the trials and the tribulations, when you're walking to the edge of the Red Sea and the devil's going to pin you and corner you against the wall, you look and you don't see him. You look and you see Jesus. And because of Jesus, you can endure. You can make it. You can survive. And not only can you survive, you can thrive in life. Paul the Apostle says it like this. We were just there in Philippians, the third chapter. I love it. Paul says, behold, I forget those things which are behind. And he says, and I reach to the things that are ahead of me. I love it. Verse number 14, he says, and I press towards. He says, I'm running. I got my head down. I got my shoulder ready to go. And I'm rushing. I'm focusing on Jesus. I love it. We'll be there in a couple years. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to Jesus as our salvation, as our leader, as our direction. And like Moses, he endured because he saw Jesus, because he saw God. You can and will endure because your eyes are fixed upon Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, My little boy Bjorn, he came up to me and he said, "Dad, I'm ready to ride my bike without training wheels." And I'm like, "Are you sure? It's been a little bit of a disastrous thing, you know, just figured at your own pace, we'll kind of do it." And he says, "No, Dad, I'm ready to go." So I go outside and I take off his training wheels on his little bike. It looked like a little clown bike. It's so small, it's embarrassing when he was out there, but it was never really important to him until that moment. And he says, "Dad, I'm ready to ride my bike." So I go and I take off his training wheels. And sure enough, I'm holding him there and I give him a little push and he starts pedaling and he starts riding his bike. I mean, he's just ear to ear, just so excited, so happy. He's just like, "Look at me, look at me." And he's riding his bike, gets a little wobbly, and he catches himself, and he just keeps riding. We have this cul-de-sac where we live, and so he's just riding in circles in this cul-de-sac, just going. I mean, he's just like, "I'm the man. I'm the man." On his little clown bike, he's like the man, you know, just so excited. And so because Bjorn starts riding his bike, Emma, my little daughter, she's 3 years old, she's like, "I want to ride my bike." So we take her bike out, and it's like a little princess bike. It's pink. It's got white wheels and little tassels. It's totally girly. And so we put her on, it's got the training wheels, and she can't figure out how to pedal yet, so we kind of like push her, and then she kind of like tries to figure it out, and then she'll try to figure out how to pedal. And so she's riding, and Bjorn's riding, and all of a sudden Bjorn just, boom, he clobbers right into Emma and the bike. Knocks her over, knocks himself over, she's crying, he's crying, they're upset. So I pick up Bjorn and I tell him, "Listen, buddy, you know, the thing about a bike is it's not about if you fall, buddy, it's when you fall." I see Pastor Mondo, when we go mountain biking, we say, "Man, it's not a good ride unless you fall off the bike." So I tell him, "Man, it's not about if you fall, it's about when you fall on the bike. And listen, it's not a big deal. What happens when you fall?" "I get back on the bike, Dad." So he gets back on the bike. Emma's like, "No, I'm done. I fell. I'm done. I'm over it." So there she is standing in the middle of the cul-de-sac. Stacy's holding Emma's hand, and Bjorn's just riding in circles. He's just going in circles, just having a good time. He's like, "Look how fast I can go." And all of a sudden, he goes around the front of Stacy and Emma, and he comes right behind, and he just plows right into the back of his little sister, Emma. Knocks her on the ground. He falls over. She's crying. He's crying. He's upset. She's upset. So we pick him up and say, "Man, don't run into your sister. Stop that." He goes, starts doing the circles again. Sure enough, boom, right into Emma again. Probably 4 or 5 times he runs into his little sister. And we're like, "You are being a little punk brother right now, man. Like, leave her alone." But we realized that he wasn't messing with his sister because he was crying. He was upset. He was frustrated. So I go over to him and I look at him and I get down on the ground and I say, "Listen, buddy, here's the problem. The problem is you keep looking at Emma. The problem is you keep looking at Emma." I said, "Don't look at Emma. Look at where you want to go, not where you want to avoid." And all of a sudden he was just like, "Okay." Gets on his bike and he sees Emma, and I can see the bike start to go towards Emma, and he's like, "Over here." And he's starting to ride, and there's the trash cans. He's looking at the trash cans, getting all, and he's like, "Over here." You see, the principle is, and it applies to you and I, what you set your eyes on is where you'll go. You set your eyes on self-help, you're going to go to self-help. You set your eyes on positive messages and give me the good vibes, you're going to go towards the positive messages and the good vibes. You set yourself on religion, you're going to go to religion. But if you set your eyes on Jesus Christ, that's where you're going to go. Because what you fix your eyes on is where you're going to go. And Jesus even says it like this: the person who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is unfit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's not about you looking at your past any longer. Because what you fix your eyes on is where you're going to go. And Jesus says, "I don't want you fixing your eyes on who you used to be. That guy died." He says, "I want you to fix your eyes on who you are in me, Jesus Christ." And when you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what, he's going to take you places. Places that you never thought you could get to. Places that you never thought you could arrive at. Because you see, the Bible says that if the devil is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus says, "I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly." So church, you can endure, you can make it, and you can thrive in life because of Jesus Christ who goes before you. Fix your eyes on him like the song we sang today said, and you will make it to the end. It's not about how you start the race. "Pastor Luke, I feel super unqualified to even be a part of this." Listen, we are all unqualified in God's eyes. But Jesus Christ died on the cross, called you and I, and because of his death and resurrection, we are qualified because of Jesus Christ, which means you are a saint of God. You are no longer a sinner. You are now a saint of Jesus Christ, a son and daughter, a king's kid, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's you now. Your past is dead and gone. And by faith, the working of seeing the invisible and believing in what you can't grab a hold of, By faith, stepping out and saying, I am going to abandon my Egypt. Your Egypt might be the bottle, might be the drug, might be the words, might be the relationship, whatever it might be, to say, you know what? I'm letting that go in my life. I'm walking away from it, and I'm not afraid of what the devil's going to do when I walk away, because I got Jesus on my side. And if I got Jesus on my side, I'm going to fix my eyes on him. And because I fix my eyes on him, I'm going in the direction of Jesus Christ. And you cannot go wrong going in the direction that Jesus goes. You can do this. There's too many Christians walking around scared of the devil. Too many Christians walking around bearing the weight of the sin and the shame that we all carry, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you see, the Bible says that that guy is dead. Stop carrying around dead weight in your life. By faith, forsake Egypt. By faith, don't be afraid of what the devil's going to throw at you when he comes at you. And by faith, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because what you fix your eyes on is where you will go. And I tell you what, that is a church. That is a body of Christ. When we live these things, what Moses did, and Moses exemplified by faith, that is a church that begins to make a difference in their family, in their workplaces, in their businesses, in their finances, in their world, wherever it might be. That's what God called you and me to do, to go to new places with Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, that happens because we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Did you guys get something out of the Word of God this morning? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.